Kimberly. I'm an alcoholic. So, tonight I will be introducing the speaker. He is the treasurer of this meeting, so it's kind of obvious who it is. He just recently celebrated 5 years on 11/9. He's married with 3 kids, 2 dogs, and he recently lost his kitty, and he's sad, and he misses him really bad. And actually, it was the cat that replaced him the last time he got kicked out of his house. So, Anyways, the cat was his replacement, yeah. He is a Capricorn, if anybody wants to know his sign. What? I asked him what kind of music he likes. He's into 80s rock. His favorite band is Duran Duran. He's a big fan of anime, which is totally cool. He likes to watch One Punch Man and The Bizarre Adventures of JoJo. So for all you anime fans out there, that's right. He also said he's bad with names, so if he doesn't remember your name, you could take it up with your sponsor. I don't know. So it's my pleasure to introduce Uncle Jim as your speaker tonight with a five magical years.
Oh, man. Well, my name is Uncle Just Jim Two Beard Jim, and it's good to be here tonight. Hold on, let me just crack a cold one here before we begin. Now, if that gave you any weird feelings, you might need to get a sponsor. If that sound is refreshing to your ears. And Mike, I'm going to bring this up just a little bit here. Loosen up, down, right about there. Oh. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, so that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, like right now, that victory over them may bear witness to those I could help of thy love, thy power, and thy way of life. Amen. Amen. That's one of my favorite prayers I do to remember I'm an alcoholic, and it helps me get through many, many, many days. Another one of my favorite prayers is the Serenity Prayer. So when somebody's standing in front of you and you're really angry at them, it could be your child, or it could be your mom, or it could be your best friend, or your boss, or your coworker. It's that Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I do believe that is the person that I'm looking at in the moment right there. I'm not going to change this person. I used to try. I really did. My goal was to change that person into thinking exactly like me, because I was usually right. Accept the things I can. The courage to change the things I can, which means I better get a little strength here, because I don't really want to change myself at all right now, because they're probably wrong, the other person in the first place. And the wisdom to know the difference is my crazy delusional mind assuming that I am better than you, that I know more than you, and if you just did things my way, you would be so much happier, and you would be able to relieve your insanity that I was living in. That was my thinking back then. I did not, like, when I was young, I did not have the dream of being an alcoholic. It never crossed my mind. I didn't wake up in the morning and go, one day I'm going to be an alcoholic, and I'm very excited about this future career of mine. It didn't cross my mind. And I didn't want to be here. I probably don't want to be here. I would rather have found the scientific method of the perfect drink that I could be living with today. If it existed, you know what? Maybe that would be okay for me. But the reality is it doesn't exist. It's not out there. And it doesn't even fit my drinking style. Like, if I find that right drink, because I really just want to get effed up. I want to get wasted. I think the new word is lit. For all you youngies out there, I'm going to get lit. And that was my drink of choice is to really just get outside of myself and drink as much as I can and try not to get caught. My problem is that as I got older and older and older and I drank more and more and more, I kept getting caught and I kept getting in trouble pretty much just with my family. Now, there were many, many trials along my way, many problems with my drinking, lots of wrecked cars, lots of property damage, lots of inappropriate contact with girls, and a lot of those I look back on today, and I'm like, I used to think, wow, that was awesome, and then I look back on it today, I'm like, man, what was I even thinking? That was just, I don't know if it's my old age or not. I don't know. Maybe it's just getting older, and I look back and I go, what was I thinking? Jeez. But up until the time I turned, let's see, 5 years, 4 years, pretty old. About 5 years ago, I was still being extremely inappropriate with how I behaved, how I treated my wife, my coworkers, people I ran into, my children at home. I subjected many of my family members to danger when the car would start, because for some reason somebody drank all the alcohol at my house again, whether it be in the backyard or the garage or hiding all over the place. Somebody kept drinking it, and that would be me. And I would proceed to get in the car and go get some more until I hit just that right amount of going to sleep, and then waking up usually in the morning. Like, have you ever done this where you're in bed and you wake up and you don't feel very good, and you look over at your significant other, and your first thought is, is she still there? And then, because many a time she was not. Or, which room am I in tonight? That was another thing that I would wake up to. Or I would wake up and I would just kind of shake her a little bit and just see her reaction, that soft, gentle touch of, everything's going to be okay. And then she would go, like a lot of choice words, like, you're such a terrible, beep, 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 last night, and then walk out. And that's where my drinking led me to, into that point where I was really just an embarrassment to my wife and my kids at some time. 29 years of drinking later, I decided to go to a wedding, and I was not going to get drunk. And this was a big wedding, beautiful wedding, family wedding. It's like on the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous wedding. We have some very rich family members who got some extra money, and I decided I better not drink tonight because I know what's going to happen. So I decided to pop a few of those calming down pills that the doctor gave me, because I had, I don't know, some mood disorders or something like that. And so I took four times the recommended dosage, and just to make sure I don't drink that night, because that was going to be my plan to stay sober that night. And I thought, seriously, I thought, this is it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get through this wedding, and I am not going to drink. And I was excited about this chance to not drink and show the family that, hey, I'm a good guy. Now, up until this point, I've been kicked out of the house many times. I stayed at that hotel there on 99 a lot. It's a nice little hotel. Lamplighter, that was my favorite choice of hotels. When I get kicked out, usually it'd be 2 or 3 days. I don't know if my wife was talking to her family about me, but they all knew I had a drinking problem. They've been around me for all the family events. And so I go to this wedding. I'm going to show everybody that I've, you know, I'm a good guy. And I start with my medication, and I get there to the wedding, and we're taking family pictures. Everything's perfect. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm trying to find a bathroom out there at the golf course, the private one here on Goshen Avenue. I'm not sure what it's called. But
What's that?
The country club. That's where the wedding was. It was fabulous. And so we get there, and I'm looking for the bathroom, and I don't even make it to the bathroom, but I'm going out by the little place where you get your golf cart and stuff outside, and the whole groom's party's there. And I walk up, and new-to-be nephew says, "Hey, Uncle Jim, you want a beer?" I go, "Hell yeah! Come and drink a beer with us." Okay, I didn't know that was a problem in the moment. So I drink that beer. It's delicious. I'm like, I got this under control. This is fine. One beer is fine. And then they all walk away to go start the wedding outside. And I'm thinking, I'm thirsty. And right there, you just walk over to that little room. It's about as big as this spot right here, and there's a whole bar in there. I go, oh, I'll grab one more beer before I go. And so I slam that down, and there's my second beer, which is also number two. And I proceed to go to the wedding, and the wedding's beautiful, and I'm getting antsy, and like, oh, this is so boring, another wedding. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting antsy. And it's a beautiful ceremony. We get through the wedding. I walk inside, greeted by one of our friends named Rick. It's so odd. Rick, oh man, it's been years. Wonderful Rick. And he was the coordinator at the golf course out there. And he's one of us. Evans, thank you, boo. So I go in there, and he comes up, first guy I run into as we're going into the bar, and he comes up and like smiles, and he makes me feel so welcome that I should really start drinking that night. So I don't blame it on him. No, I do. But no, I don't. At any rate, so I proceed to walk in, and it's about a room this size, and the entire back wall is a bar. And it's all free, whatever you want. And I just thought I had found heaven in that moment, because I was already getting nervous, and I didn't know how to behave around the family. So I go back there, and I proceed to break every drinking rule that I made. Okay, I have rules for drinking. I do. Like, number one, never mix alcohol. That's bad, because you get all headachy the next day. Number two, if you can, just drink straight alcohol. If you can, never mix beer with wine, with hard liquor, with the fruity liquor drinks. And I did it all that night. My first drink was something I never drank. Some lady said, "Yeah, you gotta try one of these." I'm like, "Yeah, let's do that." And that was my first drink, some fruity pineapple-y thing or something. And then I ordered my whiskeys. There was a beer tub down at the bottom of the bar for safety. You know, you could drink those safely because those aren't as hard liquor-y. And then from leaving the bar to being thrown out of the wedding it's all blurry in between that moment. I remember the lady giving me that foo-foo drink. I remember holding a bottle of wine at the dinner table and calling the bride's mother some choice B words. And this is my family. And then being escorted out of the wedding, and then lots of tears, me in the car driving back, letting out my life story to my brother-in-law and all my problems, and blaming it on him and his family. I don't know what happened that night. I remember getting home. There was an argument and a fight. And then the next day I woke up and the world was gray. That nice gray hangover that we all so much enjoy. When you drink too much and you wake up and you go, "Oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? I'm never doing that again." That's it. This is my last one forever. I am done. And that was kind of an ostinato in my life. It's just a cycle of forever for 28 years. I'm not going to drink again. But I woke up. The family was gone. There was no, "Get out of the house. I don't want to see you again. We're done. this isn't the first note. There's been more than one of these notes. I told my family on the note, and I'm like, oh no, this is real, because this is the first time she's ever told her family of my incomprehensible demoralizations. But they were there, they all saw it, so there's not really getting away with not telling your family. But I never thought about that. They saw it all. But for some reason, that I told my family was really important at the time. Okay. At any rate, I get a phone call that morning after I'm trying to figure out what to do and how to fix this situation, because I was pretty good at fixing it. And I got a phone call, and it was my happy, 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 joyful niece. And she's like, hey, Uncle Jim, how are you doing? Now, just to let you know, she's been in AA for longer than I have. And young and vibrant and amazing. And she goes, hey, I heard you had a great time at the wedding last night. How you feeling? And I'm like, oh, God. I didn't understand why she was so happy at the time. I get it now. It's really funny now. But to us, it's funny. Not to everybody else, okay? So our stories don't count once you leave the room. Just be careful how you're telling your story out there. So she's laughing and giggling and saying, hey, I know we need to go to a meeting tonight. I'm going to pick you up tonight about 6 o'clock. What do you say? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, this must be the way to get my wife and family back. I'm going to do this. This is good thinking right here. So I thought, yes, I will do this. I'll do this for a few days. I know you're in AA. I don't judge you. It's okay. I still love you. You're not weird. That's my thinking in the morning. It's okay. So she picks me up for a few days, actually. I think she's worried that I'm not going to show up at the meeting. I proceed to move out. I move into our little trailer and out on Goshen Avenue. Not my dream home, but for the moment, it was. And we went to a few meetings that first week. And I just remember on the first night at the Red Cross meeting, which is currently known as the Sunday Night Serenity Seekers, down there on Locust Street, used to be formerly known as Red Cross meeting, somebody read something really important. And this was a miracle in my life. And it said, here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only. I'm like, yeah, I've done that. Limiting the number of drinks. Mm-hmm. Yep. You take your whiskey bottles and you make sure you draw a Sharpie line on it. And you go, I'm not going to cross that line tonight. Mm-mm. That's my line. That damn line. It kept going, like, moving all the time. Never drinking alone. That was my favorite drink. Alone in the garage, just by myself, or doing yard work. And my yard looked way better before than it does now, because I needed a place to drink. Drinking only at home, never having it in the house. I tried that. Never drinking during business hours. I never drank during work unless the boss was there with me, I think, and that was for demolition years. And somebody once told me, if you go to work after drinking too much the night before, you might still be drunk when you go to work. So I'm like, oh, that's like a conditional allowance. I don't know that. I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. But it was... Could be real. Never drinking during business hours. Drinking only at parties. Tried it. Switching from scotch to brandy. I don't even remember drinking brandy, but I switched from scotch to wine to whiskey to vodkas to fruity vodkas, because those have to be healthier than the regular vodkas. And then I would switch from, like, cheap whiskey on poor months to that really good Crown Royale on the other nights. My favorite. And, how about drinking only natural wines? Yes, I drank those with Jesus all the time. Agreeing to resign if ever, in my mind. Okay. Agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job. Hell no. I was not going to give up my job for any MF whatsoever. However much you hated me, I'm going to fight for my job, and I'm going to lie my butt off to keep it too. Just to let you know, that's important. Taking a trip. Not taking a trip, drinking when you're going to the coast, swearing off forever, with or without a solemn oath. I did that all the time, taking more physical exercise. There was this one time I decided to go running drunk. Because I was really drunk and I thought this I needed to go running. And so I'm running down the road and I'm just completely wasted, swerving as I'm going and realizing that I can't run this straight line, thinking to myself, I think I might die tonight. And finally, I made it back to the house, and I did make it. Going to health farms and sanitariums, I didn't do that, but I was seeing a psychologist and some counselors at the time. Accepting voluntary commitment to asylums. I guess that would be AA? I'm not sure. Because we're pretty crazy in here. In a good way. That was my first night at AA. And when I heard those words, I realized I needed to be here for reals. When I heard that, something in me said, oh my gosh, somebody wrote that down and it's exactly my life and this is what I need. This is what I need. All these years I've been trying to quit. All these years I've been blaming God. All these years I've been blaming my wife's family has ended up with me ending up in AA. And remember again, this, I told you, this was not my lifelong dream as a child to be a member of AA. But it is. And it's such an important part of my life today. This thing that we do here has just changed my life and view on the world that I've degraded for the last 29 years since I started drinking. I did the high school partying and the college drinking and I quit for like 6 months until I got married. Then I started again drinking again. And then just year. And then when I hit the year 44, my magic mark, that was when I got caught, I guess. And so it was a long road to get here. I have this journal I keep at home, and it was in all these things, man, I've got to quit drinking. And it was only after I got in trouble the night before. It was always like, my wife hates me, I got to quit drinking. I think it's drinking. I'm not sure if it's drinking. But tomorrow I'll just try one drink or something. I didn't, that's not true, but I would. As soon as I got sober again, and a few days would go by. I guess I had these little moments of sobriety throughout my days, and it would come in, like I could stay without a drink for a week or like 2 days. I'd give it 2 days and I feel better, and then I'm like, okay, I'm healed now. I could drink again. I think the longest stint I ever had was that 6 months before I got married, because I vowed to quit after college. I was going to quit after college because that was my problem. That's why I got bad grades. I realized that at the time. So I'm going to quit, find the perfect wife, and live out my happy dreams. After that, 6 months about, I started drinking again after we got married. I think I was drinking on my wedding and blah, blah, blah. And then since then, since I was 24 years old, that next 20 years, my longest quit was 3 weeks. That's all I could maintain. And then after that, it would be like a celebration. Like if I could quit for 3 weeks, I deserve to drink tonight at this party. And I never realized that when I drank tonight at that party, and my wife is saying, just take it easy. Just don't drink too much tonight. I go, okay. Okay, I promise. And so I would hide as much as I drank, and then it would be on again. And it could last 6 months more of every night drinking again. And I didn't realize that 20 years had gone by of doing that same cycle over and over and over again. Just don't drink too much. And then, of course, the anger as well. So there's this really good part in here of this book. It's really good. It's on page 59. And it's called How It Works. So you're laughing because you know it's on page 59. Does anybody know what's on page 59? If you're listening to this tape, people are raising their hands right now. Two people. Okay, you're forever known. It's the steps of AA. Okay, gotcha. All right, so number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I told you that. My life was out of control. I had to drink because it helped calm my nerves. Drinking, I thought in the time, was helping me, my medication. But I found out the opposite when I got in here. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I had thought that I had believed in God since my childhood. So if you're one of those spiritual folks who went to church as a child, I could swear that God had saved my life on so many occasions because he loved me. But why was I being tortured with all the problems that I was having? Do I believe in God? I did, ever since I was a kid. Absolutely. I still remember some snow falling down in Oregon before my parents got divorced. I looked out the window. I was like 3 or 4 years old. And I'm like, oh, God, this is so beautiful. Like Christmas. It was like Christmas. And from that day on, I've always had a belief in God. One thing that has changed for me is my view of God, my higher power. God has turned into a higher power, and for me, of my own understanding. And I try not to compare gods with you because mine's better. But no, that's a bad joke. Bad joke. For me, my God is better for me than your God for me. People in this program have come up and preached to me about their higher powers, and I'm like, dude, back off. I don't even want to hear it. Please. I'm good. You go take that with you and you use it. And so I believe strongly in this, that you're going to come to find a higher power, a God of your own understanding, that will, if you're anything like me as an alcoholic, you will be saved from this disease, this allergy that we have, that there's nothing that's going to get rid of it for you. You could try all the bedevilments. Are those bedevilments? I don't even know what those are called. All those tried scotch before brandy. Those things. But you could try them all. I tried most of them, and it never worked for me. It never worked for me. Even the doctors and the church. I used to go to teach your children every Wednesday night at church. Sorry. I was preaching the best I could, okay? And we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was like a party down there. And in fact, I still know a lot of the kids today. They're fine. They really are. They grew up with my children. They're doing just fine. So, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Now, this was important in the step work. This was really important. Working with my sponsor, thank you, Bill. Thank you for the 5-year chip. I want to say I owe my life to my sponsor, Bill, because he's really made all of my dreams come true from the childhood I did not dream to become an AA. But my life is where I want it to be today. My life is exactly where it needs to be for me right now. My family's still together. I still have my job. I still have my children. We're not divorced. And listen, I'm not preaching marriage here either, but I made it through that stuff. And that was my lifelong dream, not to do what my dad and grandpa did with all their divorces and all the boyfriends and all the girlfriends and all the prostitution and all the parties. And back in the 80s, living through a child of divorce in the 80s was like an orgy of crazy. Sorry, you young people, you don't get to experience that. But for some reason, back in the 80s, it was okay to do kind of whatever you wanted. Early 70s too. Oh, man. And Yeah, I see the face. But that is what I did not want for my life. I had this dream. I had a dream that one day I will grow up and be able to not do the stuff that my parents did. And I was doing it exactly like my dad and my grandfather were doing. They're not alcoholics. They just like to drink a lot. Just they're not. And they lived the lives that they lived. And I love them dearly. But they did something I didn't like, and that was that divorce thing, catching the bus for a nickel back and forth in Hawaii for 2 hours to mom's, 2.5 to dad's, from Makaha to Haleiwa over to Waianae. Wherever my mom moved, we were catching the bus. And I hated the bus so much. I'm like, I'm never doing this when I grow up. I'm not going to send my kids on that bus for that nickel and go all the way across an island of torturous bus riding. And they're not comfortable. I rode one a few summers ago in Hawaii. It's a really uncomfortable ride. So this was my dream, not to do this. And AA, my sponsor, this book, and my niece actually that morning, calling me, all these miracles that happened in my life and these blessings that I could not have seen early on. I didn't know how to quit. I knew I needed to quit, but there was nothing, I don't know, there was no human power helping me out to quit, and God wasn't helping me quit alcohol, because I wrote him down a lot in my journal, and but the new God, my higher power of my own understanding, and something my has saved my life, but something my sponsor said, and this is what I use all the time in AA, and it's really difficult. You got to put it on your hand, and I show this to people sometimes. It's like a little miracle. Okay, here's me, and either it's good for me or it's bad for me, and that's the whole experience. And if I remember that before I react to people, it saves it, that little bit saves my life. I'm in the Walmart parking lot. I'm trying to park. One year into sobriety, and I'm waiting for this lady to put her kids in the car. It's torturing me. I'm like, this is never gonna happen. So I decide I'm just gonna squeeze in. And I had a little tiny Ford Expedition, and so I'm squeezing in next to her. It's a big car. I'm just teasing. And big, what, beastie car. But I squeezed way over to the other car, and I thought, I'm good here. I'm good. I got this. She's doing her thing. You know, I didn't hit her. I was at least a good solid foot and a half away from her. And she just went off the hinges on me. Holy cow. Just exploding. And cussing. And I'm like, man, this isn't very nice in front of your children. And I'm trying to keep my cool. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm pissed. I'm sorry, I lied there. I'm pissed, and I'm about to get out and tell this lady, you shouldn't be taking up this spot when people are trying to park in the Walmart parking lot. I got time. I'm busy right now, and I need to park, and I need to get in there and get my business done. And that's what I went out to go tell her. And I get out there, and I'm the only thing that came out of my mouth in that moment was, I'm sorry. And I'm like, holy cow, where'd that come from? I didn't even get it. And I think, oh, maybe my sponsor thing that I do, it's either good for me or bad for me. And maybe the fact that I might have to make an amend. I heard you guys talking about amends, and I was nowhere near amends at year one. So, okay. It took a while. I'm a 4-year step member. So if you want to join my membership, I could be your sponsor. Okay. Seriously, it worked for me. So, I got out, I said I'm sorry, and then that moment I realized, like, I was like all excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, something's working. Like, I feel good. Like, I didn't get in a fight with her. She didn't go crazy on me. The kids didn't see this. I didn't get fired because half of my coworkers are probably there watching all this thing go down. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's AA. That beautiful moment of serenity after I averted a natural disaster. that would just destroy me later on. It would destroy me because if I yell at you, I feel very guilty later on. Right? Or either you hurt me, and then I feel guilty that I did it in the first place. Or I hurt you, and then I feel really guilty. Or you kill me, and then I'm like, oh man, I feel guilty because now I left my family behind for no reason at all, just because I wanted to park and yell at a lady in a parking lot, right? So all of these feelings are averted because my sponsor said, is it good for me or is it bad for me? Now there's a little bit more to that in AA, but all of its blessings and this process and this trail that you go through. If you go through it, find somebody who could take you through it, somebody you trust, somebody you're willing to share your story with, and all your angers, you go let that person know how angry you are at the world. That's good stuff. Go tell them how much you hate, because I did that with my sponsor. Because remember, in the beginning, I hated all kinds of stuff. Yeah, pretty much everything. So everything that I have, too. Find that person you trust. Say, hey, you look smarter. I like your hair. Be my sponsor. You could say, like, that goatee is really cool. Could you be my sponsor? And some will say no, because maybe they're not ready. Keep asking until somebody says yes. And that person will take you through the steps the way that they probably did it with their sponsor. And it's kind of a tradition to go through steps the way we were taught how to go through it, because it worked for me. God bless you all. Higher power, spiritual experience. My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic.